Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, John's Gospel again, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about John's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through John, even though I read through John in 2020. The world has changed. I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. Since I last wondered about John, I've also wondered my way through, jeepers, all the Gospels, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, a couple of Paul's letters. Yeah, a lot has changed. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to what I said over 2 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now, or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music, and you for joining me as we wonder about this amazing and challenging gospel. I will do my best to keep these wonderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while, we may go a couple minutes long because it's that kind of gospel. And you should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley, or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what John's Gospel has to say today. Hey, today we start a new chapter. It's John 20, verses 1 to 10. And for those of us who have been to church on Easter, we will likely recognize this story. When we finished up yesterday, finished up chapter 19, Jesus had died on the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had prepared his body and put it in the tomb, which was not far away from where Jesus was crucified, and that's where we left it. Jesus dead, body in the tomb, and then this is what happens. So John 20, 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. And the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been at Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. You know there's more, but we're going to stop there. So what do we wonder about with this passage? Well, I think we're pretty comfortable with the timing of all of this, although maybe we're not all. So it says, you know, early on the first day of the week. And so what is the first day of the week? Most of us think of Monday as the first day of the week, right? We go back to work on Mondays. But in fact, here we're referring to what you and I would call Sunday. So this is Sunday. So, the first day of the week is the day after the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is basically Saturday. I mean, the Sabbath starts Friday night when the sun goes down and carries on until the sun goes down on Saturday. So the light hours, the waking hours, it's in Saturday. So then the next day is Sunday. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. So that would suggest that it was early Sunday morning, before the sun has fully come up. I guess it, technically it could be overnight that night. It was still dark. But it says early on the first day. So again, I don't think early is 1 a.m. For me, early is 5 a.m. But we're allowed to wonder about that and to think about that. I mean, is Mary Magdalene there just after midnight? It's possible. I mean, why is Mary Magdalene there? I mean, that's the question. And people who want to combine the gospel accounts and say, like, they've all got it right, and they try to harmonize them. So, well, Mary was there to bring spices to prepare the body, to treat the body as you should according to custom. Fine, except that, if we want to sort of harmonize the gospels, then, well, why is Mary Magdalene there alone in this gospel? Because she's not alone in the others. The others, she is with, depending which gospel you read, Salome, Mary the mother of Jesus. She's with others, and they bring spices. But here she's alone, and she doesn't bring spices. She doesn't bring spices because we just heard that Nicodemus has already or did prepare Jesus's body. So that's all been done. Doesn't need to be done now. So that's all happened. So John does have a different story. And people, oh, well, come on, surely John knows, and Mark knows, and they wouldn't forget. That assumes that all the Gospels are trying to lay out accurate historical accounts, have the chronology just right, have all the people doing all the things. And I don't think that that's John's concern at all in this. I think John gives us Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, who has an important relationship with Jesus. I would argue that she's an apostle every bit as much as Peter or John. There are those who don't want to accept that. Then there are those who, write lovely books who would say that Mary of Magdala is Jesus's wife. There is no scriptural evidence for that at all. Which doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that that's not what scripture's saying. And I don't think that's the point John is trying to make either. I can see Mary, someone whose life has been entirely changed by Jesus, whose life has meaning now, thanks to Jesus, who has come to understand love and God's presence in the world. I can see her not knowing what the hell to do now that Jesus is dead. I know he told me it had to be this way, and I want to believe that everything's going to be okay, but right now it doesn't feel like it, and so I'm wandering around. I don't know what else to do. And I end up at the graveside. It makes perfect sense. I see somebody in grief and in shock. This feels like a real story to me. And I think that Jesus, that John in his gospel is telling us a real story about real feelings, real emotions. I don't know about the real chronology, the real historical piece of this, but I get the feeling. So there are those who just did not know what to do and seem to be wandering aimlessly. I mean, I can think of, sort of teenage breakups, times in my younger life where my heart was broken and I didn't know what to do and I was lost and confused, and I'm so young, I'm riding my bike, but I'm riding my bike past that girl's house because I don't know what else to do. Mary Magdalene is going past where Jesus is because she doesn't know what else to do. I get that. But oh my God, the tomb is opened. The stone isn't there. And so she runs to get help. So she goes to Simon Peter, who we just generally call Peter, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Well, in John's gospel, that's usually John's way of referring to John. So we assume that she's gone to Peter and to John and said, oh my God, he's the body. They've taken it. And we don't know where they've laid him. Interesting use of we. Mary, it seemed, was there alone, but maybe Mary is with others. We just didn't hear about them. that would fit the other gospels. Maybe Mary went to other people along the way, just going like, oh my God, have you seen Jesus? As she ran to Simon, as she ran to Peter and John, did she sort of check in with other people going, did you move the body? Did you hear? But I don't know. But I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think John makes a lot of mistakes. I think John's very intentional about what John says in the gospel. So we don't know where we've taken him. Maybe we're just, again, speaking to a collective feeling. We don't know what's happened. We don't get it. And I think that's fair. There are a lot of times in my faith, things happen. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand. I don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't understand what I'm seeing. I don't understand. I get what Mary's doing. At least that's it works for me. And then Peter and John, they run, and I love that, you know, there's a foot race described here, and that John wins it. Is this like actually John writing, just going like, yeah, by the way, faster than Peter? I don't know. What I do know is that he gets there, gets to the tomb, stops, looks in, sees the linen wrappings there, but he doesn't go in. We make that point. He does not go in. Peter gets there next, and he just, boom, he goes right in. So, is John telling us a story about how John's faster than Peter? Is John telling us a story about how Peter is braver than John? He'll just rush right in. Or should Peter not have gone in? That's remarkably rude. He should respect the grave area. I'm not sure. But John has told us this story, and therefore I think we're invited to wonder, what is he talking? Why is he telling us about two people, two apostles, two believers in Jesus, two people who love Jesus? They rush, one goes in, one does not go in, the other does. They both run with enthusiasm. I think about faith, I think about how I have lived in my faith, I think about people that I meet, and they're filled with enthusiasm. And they're just rushing right in until it matters. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. And then they stop, and now suddenly they're cautious. So we're all very enthusiastic at first, but oh, now wait, just a second. No. I don't know. Do I want to be baptized? Do I want to join your church? Do I want to speak up? God, I love being at church on Sundays, but the minister invited us to say something. I don't want to say anything. I think that that's very real. And I don't know whether I would be Peter or I'd be John. I probably wouldn't get to the tomb first. So that might make me Peter. But if I get there, am I cautious? Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I'm stopping and I'm looking from outside just to see, the same way that as I get into my faith, I also like to discern what it is that I am doing, what I'm consuming, what action am I taking, what am I learning, how am I doing this. I'm going to be very careful about it. I have people who will come to my church, they'll come once or twice, and we'll get a phone call, or I'll reach out to them somehow, and we'll end up sitting and having coffee. And they have a whole series of questions to ask. You know, I was raised Anglican. Is that okay if I'm here? I'm celiac, and I can't have anything with gluten. Can I have communion? Do you people understand about that, or how do you do that? I'm indigenous. Are you really super colonial in the way you do things? Am I going to feel out of place, or am I going to have a place in this? Or are you going to sort of rest all your hopes for reconciliation on my shoulders? People who are being careful about how they engage in their faith. And I appreciate it, and I admire that. And I think that John has given us an example of that. John is that person himself. Right? I mean, John has just recently accepted taking on the care for Jesus' mother Mary. Didn't balk at that. Now he's right here at the place of resurrection. I gotta check for a second. I gotta be sure. I know lots of people who have robust faith, amazing lives of faith, but when it comes to the question of the physical resurrection of Jesus, they're like, yeah, I'm not ready to commit on that. Or I draw the line there. I believe in a lot of things, and I believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but not the body so much. That's too much for me. I know those people. I love those people. And then there are other ones who rush right in, and yeah, I gotta see about this risen body. Because it is that physical resurrection that shapes and frames everything in my faith. And I got to be there. And you can stay outside if you want, but I'm going in. There are people like that. There are people who come to the church and they say, you know, we've been here for 2 weeks. And suddenly they want to be set up to give regular donations to the church. And they want to join four committees. And they're going to help out with the next big event. And they're just, boom, they're all the way in. And some of those people stick around. Some of those people disappear after a couple months too. But I don't question their faith. That's just who they are. You know, each one of us brings a different need, a different sensibility, a different way of being into our faith. And I think that John is giving us that around Jesus' tomb. I don't know how much this is about the resurrection as much as this is about our faith. And there are those who embrace a physical resurrection. There are those who aren't sure. There are those who leap right into the faith and they want to be doing everything right now. Throw me the deep end, coach. I'm ready. And there are others who go, I'd like to be sure about what I'm doing before I do it. I'm a little more careful about that. I want to spend a little more time discerning. There isn't clearly one better than the other. That's just exactly who we are. And they help each other. The one who stood outside, John, he has a perspective to offer Peter. Peter went in and Peter was able to invite John in. And so they see and they believe. Both of them. That's the thing. They saw and believed. They saw and they trusted. They went, okay, we get it. But I love the line, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Both types of people still have a lot to learn. And if you find yourself in one category, looking over at the other, it's easy to think that they're getting it and you're not. Or it's easy to think that you've got it and they're totally missing it. It's easy to fall into that comparing piece. But here, John has given us both of those people. They've both rushed to the event of the resurrection. And one is discerning, want to be very sure before I go in, and the other's rushing right in. And both have something to learn. As yet, they did not understand the scripture. And the great thing is they have something to learn from each other. And they have something to learn from God. We're not finished learning. At least for me, that's what's going on there. I'm not concerned about trying to harmonize this gospel with the other gospels and make it all work. And is it Sunday morning? Is it Monday? Was the crucifixion actually on the Thursday? But no, maybe it should have been the Friday. I don't care about that. And I don't think that John does either. I don't think John is forgotten. I don't think that John is mistaken. I don't think John cares. So John simply tells us, you know, on the first day of the week, so we're starting a new week. The Sabbath has come and gone, first day of the week, so that works. But what's really important is that Mary doesn't know what to do. She's hurt and shocked and stunned. That's real. And Peter and John are drawn to this the resurrection, to this place, this moment. And they're both very faithful, but they also react and respond differently when confronted with the resurrection. That's also very real. I have been Peter, and I have been John, and I certainly have been Mary. I recognize all of them, and I like that John has included them all in the story. And I think that, for me anyway, I think that's what's actually important. But you know what? I'm just going to leave it right there. Leave it with you. What have I not picked up in this story that's making you wonder? What are you wondering that's different from what I'm wondering? Or what did I wonder? That you, oh, that, yeah, okay, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I invite you into some wondering and wondering about the resurrection. What part does that actually play in your faith, in your life? The resurrection of Jesus. Physical? Otherwise? What part does it play? Are you standing outside being careful and assessing these things, or are you rushing in, just going like, it's good, I got to be there? Or are you still at times just like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. So I just sort of keep coming back to where Jesus is, like Mary. Let me offer a prayer, and then I'll stop prattling. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, your presence in our lives, and the way that you and the stories reveal our beautiful, glorious humanity, our enthusiasm and our caution, our excitement and our worry, our shock and our surprise. Thank you, God, for letting all of these, inspiring all of these aspects of our lives to help us wonder. Let us wonder in shock and surprise. Let us wonder enthusiastically. Let us wonder from places of confusion. Let us wonder from places of worry, and let us wonder from places of joy, and in all of it, God, as we wonder, may we hear your voice. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough for me today, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We'll continue on in the story, because you know there's more coming. And until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you exactly where you are, rushing into the tomb, standing outside, or just wandering around, not sure what to do next. God sees you. God loves you exactly where you are and as you are. And God's story is told through you. God's love moves through you into the world. It's true. You're amazing. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.